And there's a lot of cool tax benefits that you can get from that, from a business tax deduction, and some strategic ways too to get that fee sometimes knocked off just by early payment terms, creative strategies. And that's what I love doing, is right, help and save some money there and add to your bottom line, and then leverage, you know, cards where you weren't earning rewards anyways to earn and pay for travel that way too.
Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm Grace.
And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with our Experts Corner interviews with short-term rental investors, with experts in the industry and business owners who can help you navigate this world and gain some of your unfair advantages. And our guest today is here to help us do just that. I've got Mr. Ross Alcorn, from CEO, founder of The Itinerary Boss. And I happen to have the privilege of being on Ross's podcast. And we started talking about how I was able to really navigate the world of spend that I was doing to set up my properties and turn it into a lot of points and travel. And that happens to be Ross's expertise. And I think we're going to have a really fun conversation today, because we have a lot of investors that tend to spend a decent amount of money setting these properties up, running these businesses, and maybe not capitalizing as much as they should be. And so, Ross, I'm super excited about our conversation today. I appreciate you joining us.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean. And I appreciate you bringing me on. I know we had a fun conversation, and then I realized, man, you could be leading the Experts Corner on points and miles and credit card rewards after we spent the last, you know, 15, 20 minutes on my show going into it. So I'm really excited to be here and, yeah, provide as much value as possible to something that's close to my heart, is because we've lived through, you know, real estate investing. So I know, right, from short term, medium term, yeah, long term, and everything that goes into it, the day to day. So happy to share as much advice as I can here.
Love it. Well, let's start with the background. Tell everybody, you know, where you're from, what regular life for Ross looks like, but also what got you interested in this world of how to navigate, like, and really maximize on credit card points. And so, like, but take me to the background so we get to know you a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're here in Charlotte, North Carolina, originally from the Northern Virginia area. And when I was a kid, we moved around a good amount. So I kind of got to see some different places, just through, you know, the Northeast, Northern Virginia, Colorado. So I got to experience those, which really opened up my eyes to travel. And that got that bug going. And then after I studied abroad in Ireland in college, it was just like, wow, there's a whole different world outside of this, right? So that started, paired with being a road warrior on the road as a sales rep in the medical device and healthcare software industry. So learn the ins and outs of, right, the hotel loyalty, airline programs, was spending 4 or 5 nights on the road. So was accumulating those while also planning all of our group trips, because there's not many guys in their early 20s who want to, you know, grab the bull by the horns and plan trips for his 6 idiot friends, right? So right, I was doing, right, both those things, and being able to leverage the corporate rewards alongside with the credit card points, started to really learn, okay, I'm getting free flights, I'm getting free hotel nights. This is awesome. And then when I wanted a better work-life balance, when I wanted to stop traveling as much, I started to realize, okay, how can I optimize even more? And not only on the personal side, we were spending a little bit, but when we started investing in real estate, started to realize, oh, you can get business credit cards, and then ran into a big challenge that I think a lot of people, and I'm excited to talk about this because this is where, you know, we try to save people a lot of money on, is that 3% fee, or that where vendors don't take cards because we're in the real estate investing space. We ran into that. So it was kind of navigating that piece. So going into that personal spend, business spend, and then when I officially started my company in October 2023, you know, started to realize, oh, I'm spending a decent amount investing there. So just combining all of those different spends from business and personal, being able to then combine the points and use that for luxury travel on the personal side. That's how I really got in the space. And what does life look like for Ross? It's honestly just living life to the fullest, traveling as much as possible. And I know you probably have a lot of entrepreneur mindset people on listening to this. It's taking those quarterly resets, doing cool things, right? Doing just enjoying those relationships that we have and investing in those. And that's the beauty of, right, the lifestyle assets, is you get that freedom to be able to go travel. So excited to share more and just hopefully help your audience as much as possible.
I love it. I love it. And you, it's interesting when you said, you know, I started, you know, I was just kind of doing this. I kind of was by default the guy who was planning these trips, and we started to look at, and you were on the road a lot for your regular active income job. And then you started realizing, how can I turn these everyday expenses, some of these things we're spending money on a real estate investments, and turn them into some of these points programs. And there's a lot of loyalty programs out there. There's a lot of credit card options, but it sounds like it starts by mapping out that spend and kind of looking and seeing, where are you spending your money? Cause then that might help navigate into, like, really strategically picking the right cards and the right points programs. Is that really kind of where it starts? It's cause you've really systemized this process now. You've really got a blueprint behind really how to maximize everyday spend, business spend, travel spend, setting up properties, like which would be more like business spend, into where are these bonuses for us? Like where are they laid out? Does it start with trying to figure out where you're spending your money?
Exactly. Yeah, you hit it spot on. And I always like to say, first off the bat, it's like, you know, make sure you're doing it in a responsible way. If people are listening to this podcast, I'm sure they're right. They have a good foundation in place and they're wanting to invest for more wealth. So they probably have all of that in place. But from there, then it's aligning. The best part is, if you're a business owner and you're a real estate investor, you have business spend and you also have personal spend. So think through, right? Where are you spending a lot of your money on the personal side? So I'm guessing if your family, a lot of your money is going towards groceries, right? So thinking through that, aligning that with the right cards there in your lifestyle. And then on the business side, what are you spending most your money on? You know, if you're going and you're buying properties, you're probably spending a lot on furnishing when you're doing those. So thinking through that, what's going to get you the most bang for your buck? If you're a short-term rental host, right? What's going to get you, if you're spending a lot of money on software, where, you know, what's going to get you 3-4x on that? If you're running a lot of ads, if you're more online and you're right, you co-host, whatever that may be, making sure you align with that. And you also have to think to yourself, do I want to make it super simple and have one card that just does everything? And maybe I only get 2x on it versus, you know, different cards with 3-4x. So that's the questions you have to ask yourself. If you're like me, I'm like, hey, I want to get the most bonuses and right. I'm okay with managing that. But those are questions you should ask yourself first. And the welcome bonuses are huge when you're first starting out. If you have a big expense, that's where you get, even if you aren't spending a ton, that's where you get the biggest bang for your buck. So if you're getting new appliances, right? If you're going and furnishing, like I have a buddy who's he was texting me the other day, he's doing, I think it's 40-50K of furnishings for his new short-term rental. He's like, what card should I get? This is what I want. After this, the expenses are going to be minimal amount. So I said, go get a 2X card, Capital One Venture X business. It's great welcome bonus. And it's after you spend that and you have, you know, $2,000 a month in ongoing expenses, it's going to earn you 2X. And it's just super simple. So those are the types of questions when you're first starting out, is you want to obviously ask yourself. And yeah, and then from there, once you have the right card stack in place, you'll start to learn more. And there's some other strategies around, you know, 0% interest cards and stuff like that. But that, you know, we can get into that if we want. But that's kind of it in a nutshell, just to get started.
Yeah. And I love, and I know that there's a lot of layers of this onion that we'll start peeling back and we'll dive into a number of them in this conversation. But I know for me, that's where it started. I was like, I was looking at where I was spending a decent amount of money. And I was like, hey, listen, there was one card that was saying, hey, you know, you get 4X your marketing spend and you get, and so it's like, okay, I'll use that card for this, you know, then I get 3X for grocery spend. And I'll use that card for that spend. And so I actually do navigate that world and shuffle around different cards in my wallet, right? And depending on what I'm spending it on, but I'm really looking for what those bonuses are. The other thing that I did was I was looking at where I could use those points, where I could use those, because there are certain, you know, certain airlines that we fly based on where we're located. There's certain things that we would want to use those points for. And I wanted to make sure that those points could be applied toward that. And is how often do you talk about that on as a determining factor? I know when you and I had a conversation, you were telling me about a card and I couldn't use it for the main airline that was here that was based out of Salt Lake as a Delta. It's a Delta hub, Salt Lake is. And so we're almost strictly flying Delta. And that there were some amazing points, but where I'm going to want to use those points, I wasn't able really to use them as easily because of where we're at and located. And so I wasn't as attracted. So you have to look at a whole bunch of different things a little bit.
Yeah. So it comes back to like destination planning, right? And it's personal preference. Cause if you're single and you can kind of travel whenever, it's completely different than if you have 2-3 kids and you're juggling school schedules and you have to plan around that. So I think that's kind of the first question. And then the second is, where's your hub? So, right, you guys are a Delta hub. We're in Charlotte. We're an American hub. So I'm going to build that strategy around that. And if you're a business owner, sometimes it's, you know, do you want to have one card on the personal side that you spend just to earn American miles because that's how you fly domestically and it covers your domestic flights? And then on the business side, right, if you're spending, like you mentioned, Sean, 3x, you know, if you're spending on a lot on ads, getting a card that aligns with that, which what we call transferable rewards, which that's kind of the power of this. When if people have ever seen people, you know, on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, oh, I'm flying business class with champagne laying down for 60,000 points. That's where the transferable points come into play. And your bigger banks are Chase, Amex, Capital One, and Citi that have those. And that's where, you know, you can align what your spend is and where you're at to those. And there's a lot of transfer partners. So I think it's just like, keep it simple. Think about where's your hub, where's your spend, what's your personal situation. And then from there, you can just start with one thing and then you'll start to learn. But it's just starting out with the foundational pieces. And that's a best strategy that I always coach people on.
Yeah. And you mentioned at the beginning of this, just saying, hey, listen, you have to be responsible, right? There is a level of responsibility because this can spiral out of control for somebody that is not super responsible. But like for us, I haven't paid a percent of interest on my cards in I don't know how long. We've spent millions of dollars on them because we just pay them off every single week. And so, but that's part of what we're doing. But we almost never pay for anything outside of these points. Cards, these cards that we're using, getting points on. And because of that, we got a lot of points and we're able to, you know, it is a little bit more responsibility and a little bit more logistics on the front end to make sure you're managing all that. But at the end of the day, there's some major rewards. And when we talk about points and not all points are created equal, what would you tell somebody that's kind of new to this? Like, what are points actually worth? We're saying, okay, what is the end game? What am I really trying to do here? And what is it worth to me to kind of, you know, incur this little extra step on the front end to manage all this stuff?
Yeah. So it's pretty relatable to what you're doing on the lifestyle asset side, right? Like at the beginning, when you start investing in real estate, it is a lot of work on the front end, right? But that reward at the end is well worth it. So again, it comes down to systems, processes, and on the front end, it's a little bit of work. But once you get that machine rolling, it's second nature, right? You start to learn it. It becomes more repeatable. And just think, right, if you haven't had a vacation or if you've been paying cash, I talked to a lot of business owners where they're like, hey, I'm spending, you know, 40, 50 grand a month, but I'm paying 50 plus grand a year in cash to go on vacation with my family and we're going to the same place because I don't plan ahead, right? Like, so I think this can take you to places, one, that you didn't really think you'd want to go because you just didn't think it was possible. So I think that's the biggest thing is like, it can help you go on these vacations longer term. And the best part is sure, you're going to pay $6,000-$7,000 for a business first class seat? Probably not. But when you're doing it for nearly free, it feels even better. And then that stretches your budget further for when you go on that vacation where you aren't like, okay, we have to eat in or we have to do this. Like, that's just, you're going to be spending that money on that. So it's well worth it. And you can see,
and it's not. That's what it is for us. And I'd love to hear what you guys use it for as well. But like personally for us, we use our points strictly, almost strictly for airline travel. And so, but the nice thing about it is when we do travel is like we always are in the front of the plane, and we've always got, like, we went to London and they're in the Delta One seats, the lay down, and you have your own compartment. And if I would have paid for those seats, and they're, you know, they're direct flights. So we do Hawaii trips every year. They're the same, those same Delta One planes. And my whole family gets to travel like that. And it's not, if I'm paying for those seats, you're talking about five to, you know, the London trip we went on, they're $15,000 seats. And we're able to use those points for that and be able to travel that way without shelling out that kind of money to be able to go buy those tickets. Right. And so there is a real tangible value to that. And now we could stretch it even further and not buy those tickets, but it's fun to be able to, like, for when we go travel, you know, the experience starts when we leave the house, not when we get to the destination, because we're traveling in such a way that is really fun. You get access to the nicest clubs, you get access to the nicest seats on the plane, and it's really funded by being able to, like, get this, use these points programs and on stuff we would spend money on anyways. And for real estate investors listening to this, you know, you've got some big expenses when you set these properties up, and you got some big expenses to do that. And now, you know, so you don't have to have a business that's spending, you know, millions of dollars on advertising and everything else and inventory and things like that. That's pretty obvious. You're going to get some points up, added up pretty fast. But just average every day, you know, homeowners and investors can go add points up pretty quick. So I'd love to hear, like, kind of what you guys use your points for, so that people can kind of tangibly think, why would I do this? Because we work with a lot of investors, but a lot of them are very conservative. I mean, yeah, to the point where some of them are like, I don't even own credit cards, right? I don't need, you know, I pay for everything I write, you know, which to me, I'm like, man, you're leaving a lot of money on the table, because people are paying, you know, those credit card companies, they're charging those 3% fees for a reason, and they're passing it back on. Obviously, they're making some money with those merchant fees, but they're passing a lot of that on to those points and loyalty programs.
Yeah, yeah. Now, and you bring up a really good point is, it doesn't start when you get there. It starts when you leave the house. And, like, that's the best part is when you're looking forward to flying in first or business class. When you get there, you get a lounge that's amazing. And when you go overseas, some of the lounges are
awesome.
Yeah. Sometimes bigger than a mall. It's crazy. Yeah. So, yeah, like, that's first part. Also think, if you're traveling 7-10 plus hours and you have multiple legs, like, if you're sitting in economy, I don't know about you, but my back starts to hurt after like an hour. So, like, that, so you're showing up that, you're showing up refreshed too. You're getting a good night of sleep. My thought is, if you're stretching your points, if you're going over the ocean, always get it on the flight where you can sleep. If you're coming back during the day and you have to decide between two, I always will say, get that lie flat to sleep. So you're showing up. And if you have a daytime flight back, or it's not, you know, that you don't have enough points. So that's kind of my strategy, but we use it for flights, hotels, and it just depends on where we're going too. So if I were to only have, let's say, 200,000, you know, points, and we were going somewhere, I would prioritize flights before hotels or stays, because a lot of the times, if you're going places, like when we went to Bali and Thailand this past April, staying in some of those hotels was super cheap if we weren't using points. Same thing when we go to South Africa, you're looking at, you know, $100 a night, which is minimal compared to if I'm traveling 20 hours, I'd rather, you know, sleep and have that. So I think it's thinking through that. How many points do you have? And there's different ways. Like, we're going to Grand Cayman in a few days as we're recording this. And that was just from a simple card that we opened that gave us 5 free nights on a welcome offer. And we're getting $800 worth of value out of each night. So it's, with 4 nights, it's over $3,200, and we're going to get upgraded because we have a status with the cards. That's another thing with some of the cards, is having status. So there's a lot of different ways that you can utilize it, but I prioritize first those long haul flights. And then from there, there's hotels if you want, or if you have a lifestyle asset that you can stay at right there, it's already paid for. So I think it's right. But it just comes down to that personal preference. And you mentioned something else around spending millions of dollars. Like, no, we, to be completely transparent, between business and personal, we just had a wedding this past March. We probably spend around 10K all in on cards, and in cash value price, we've saved over 50,000 in travel bookings this year from flights, hotels. Yeah. So it's just building out that strategy. Obviously I've been doing it for a long time, but that's what, right. I take those systems, processes, things that I've done, and then just coach people on, here's how you get to the front of the line and not make the mistakes, right? Don't redeem for gift cards, statement credits, Amazon gift cards, right? Sometimes through the portal. Like, those are the biggest mistakes that I see a lot of people make. And look, I made them. I've made every single one. I made multiple times. So that's why I'm big on letting people know about that too.
Yeah. I love that you brought that up. And what a real world example of saying, you know, $10,000 in actual spend gave you about $50,000 in travel benefits. That's huge. I mean, that's a massive like return on understanding how to play that game. And that's what I think that it's, I'm glad you brought up, there's good places to spend those points and bad places too. I don't know the strategy fully behind it, but I know that when I look at certain things to trade in versus like using it for airline, it feels like the airline travel is a pretty good return on that point system. It's almost exclusive what we do, but I see the offers for, you know, you've got X amount that you can get in Amazon cards. You have X amount that you can use on cruises or a lot of stuff. That doesn't seem to be as good of a return on the trade-in on those points nearly as much as it is as far as airline travel.
Yeah. So I've done like a full month content series around this, just right, to just drill it into people's brains of, because every person I talk to goes, oh, this is what I'm doing. So I'm like, you know what? Let me just tell everyone, this is what, if you want to travel, let's not do this. So if you have an Amex Platinum or Amex Gold and you're redeeming through the portal, paying off your balance, you're getting 0.6 cents per point. So you're getting 0.6 ROI on that. So let's say $1,000, you have 100,000 points, you're getting $600 back.
Right.
Not good ROI. Amazon gift cards, similar thing at 0.7. Capital One and Chase, a little bit different at 1 cent per point. So 100,000 points, $1,000. So not terrible. If you say, hey, Ross, I have 1 million Capital One points and we're going here and we want to use 300,000 to pay off our statement for our Airbnb. That's a use case that if that's what fits your trip, go ahead and do it. But if you're saying, hey, I have 300,000 points and I really want to stretch those far, we're going across the ocean, utilize those to prioritize business or first class, because that's going to give you the experience, or use it to transfer to hotel partners. So yeah, when you're transferring those points to different airlines, Sean, that we're talking about for those lie flat seats, you know, you're getting 3, 4, 5+ cents per point or times your ROI. Gotten 7 or 8, and that's like where that big value comes in. And then if you're transferring to hotels, you can get points there too. So like, they aren't going to be as crazy redemptions, but you know, we're going to Cabo for our 1 year anniversary and we're spending 35,000 points at the top rated Hyatt hotel in Cabo. That's a Hyatt. That's $900, $1,000 a night. So there's ways to use Chase points for Hyatt. That's a really good one. And then also Bilt has some really, really good, exciting things that we can dive into, because you can now start to earn points on your mortgage. There's some strategies around, with holiday shopping, cash back. There's a lot of ways to earn points. And I always just like to be transparent. You don't have to spend exuberance amount of money. It's just like having that strategy in place and just making it repeatable, just like setting up a property. That's how you do it.
Yeah, like anything, right? You set these strategies up and then you understand them and you let them run. You set them and you let it go. And all of a sudden you start getting these benefits and then it becomes pretty fun. Like I always, it's pretty fun. I love looking at my point statement all the time. Like, we calculate what we're going to use it for. And it translates to pretty fun trips with the family. So That's always fun to do that. Now, you just mentioned something that I had on my question list, because I had heard that there are ways to start paying rent, mortgages, and get points for. That is massive for a lot of people, for everybody, really. Yeah. What is the likelihood of that, and where did that how does that work?
Oh yeah, well, it's happening. It's been in movement since late summer. So historically, Bilt, BILT. If you're if you like the Built Clothing, BYLT, I do, different companies. But so Built started out with rent that you could pay rent. So I actually have a tenant who pays via Built. So he, you know, sends in his rent. I get a check in the mail. So they were doing that since 2021. This summer, a company called Mesa came out. So they have a card that you can pay your mortgage with. So you actually don't pay the bank. You just, Mesa has a card. Once you're approved, you show the statement. So let's say my mortgage is $3,500. I get 3,500 points each month. That card also, it's really made for the homeowner. So it also gets elevated 3x points on daycare. You get a lot of different like Thumbtack credits, Lowe's credits. There's just a lot of good credits. So I would suggest go checking that out. If you want to dive deeper, I interviewed the CEO, Kelly Halpin, on my podcast, where we do a deep dive. They're doing some pretty cool stuff around also like mortgages. So if you do your mortgage through them or you refinance, you also can get up to, or your loan, you can get up to 1 million points with them. And that's big because they have different transfer partners like Air Canada, which Air Canada is probably the best. So best transfer partner in the game. Think of United. So you could fly on, you know, a United flight on Air Canada, just to keep it super simple. Like most people who fly on Air Canada flights have never flown on Air Canada, right? They're flying on different partner flights. So don't want to complicate that, but keeping that simple. And then Built is coming out with, on February 7th, 2026, is coming out with their first homeowners card where you can earn points on that. Built is probably one of the best currencies. It has some of the best transfer partners. Think Hyatt, United, and then there's some more. So that's coming out. I'm really excited. I'm in the process of getting some of the executives to come on the podcast just to really break it down, right? And share like, hey, here's what we have now. My hope is, and this is what I'm chomping at the bit, you know, if you have multiple properties, can you get multiple cards? Because if you have five properties and you get, you know, 15,000, 20,000 points of Built points, that's where it starts to, stack up. Yeah. So that's definitely a strategy, that I'm super excited about.
Yeah. It's massive. And I know Built was put together, my understanding, I should say, I don't know, but my understanding is that they did that so that renters could have a way to build credit with their rent payments, like and help their credit score and show, you know, and so they came out with this card where you can pay your rent, but also build your credit score. And you know, that was kind of the motivator behind it. And then now there's these side benefits of being able to get points and everything else with it, which is massive, right? Especially it's, you know, a lot of times our housing rent or mortgage is going to be our largest monthly expense. And so outside of taxes, but if you own multiple properties and you get multiple cards and you start doing that and you start spending money, depending on how many properties you have, you can add up some serious points where you're probably traveling as much as you want to travel. And so they've got good transfer partners.
Yeah, no, for sure. And they have something cool too, that just came out. And this is very timely with the holidays. And we can link this in the show notes, but Rakuten, so that's a really good, it's just a free Google Chrome extension, cash back. If you're an NBA basketball fan, they were on the Warriors jersey for a while. It's not Roku, it's Rakuten. So that's one that they recently just announced that you can now, instead of earning cash back, so say something's 10% cash back, you can earn that in Built points, which is massive. So that announcement, and if you have American Express, same type of thing. You can, instead of earning cash back, you can earn membership rewards. So if you're spending a lot, you know, online, and you're spending, and say you have a big purchase and you can earn 10 times the points on Amex or Built, like you have $1,000 expense, 10x, that's 10,000 points. That's a free Hyatt night. That's where those are some of those next level strategies, that, you know, my suggestion is just go download that free Chrome extension and then start earning that way too.
Yeah. That's you know, there's so many ways to navigate this and the benefits. Again, I'm a user of the benefits. I've been like really navigating, trying to, and nowhere near to the, like when I'm talking to you, I'm like, man, I've got to get in your, the process that you guys are teaching everybody so I can have those systems in place. We've talked about a lot of strategy, right? And so talk to me a little bit about how you help people navigate this stuff.
Yeah. So I have a group coaching program. And again, it's really like we talked about. It's one, set up the right cards. Let's figure out what cards align with your business and personal spend. Two, we're getting the system set up, right? Like setting the foundation from the get-go before we even start talking about here's where I want to go, here's the transfer, any of that, like getting those set up. Then we're aligning. And usually at the beginning, I know like, hey, here's where me and my wife want to go. You know, if I'm a business owner and I'm sending some of my employees, you know, gifting them, you know, points, like here's where they potentially want to go. Like I know, and I also know where you live. So we align it that way. And then we're just coaching you on here's how you transfer those, right? So you don't have to go be like, Ross, there's 100 transfer partners. Which one do I use, right? It's you live in Charlotte. Here's where you're probably going to use the most. Here's the cards you get. Boom. And then we show you how to redeem those. So we just do a full session on that. And then we do through that, we do a one-on-one concierge where your first redemption too, you have Amex, you have Chase points. We walk you through that exact process of here's who you'll transfer to. And once you do it once, you start to get in the movement and that you get all recordings, everything there. So you have that deliverable for whether it's you, whether you're if your wife's the visionary CEO who likes to plan the trips, right? And is wanting to go on vacations, or if you have an assistant or team that does book all your travel, like we systemize it to make it a super simple, repeatable process for you. And then from a support group, you know, whoever has came into that and paid for group coaching, like it's not a 200,000 person Facebook group that you're having to navigate through. It's only, you know, paid people. So it's people who have gone through that process who have a lot of the same challenges, struggles, and everything. So I like it. I like that model. And I've joined a bunch of those for my own personal entrepreneur benefit. And it's substantially helped.
Yeah, likewise. That's how we have it set up at Vodacy as well. It makes it nice. And you don't get a lot of keyboard warriors in those types of groups, or they're paid groups, right? You get people who are very intentionally there. They've paid money to be there and working on the same problems, solving the same issues, you know, maximizing and sharing the best practices. And it makes it to where everybody can accelerate. And that collective experience is pretty nice. And in your world, where things change pretty constantly, there's different, you know, introductory offers that change on a regular basis with cards. And when you have, you know, a good pulse on the industry and you have enough people out there paying attention to those same, kind of what everybody's working on together, you probably hear pretty fast what some of the best, the best offers are currently at the time that you're, you know, navigating them.
Yeah. Yeah. I get emails from our partners telling me when I just got one for a welcome bonus. So if anyone's listening, yeah, there's a nice welcome bonus on the Capital One Venture X's for business and personal. So we get those updates. Obviously I'm very passionate about this. I love to travel. So my Saturday morning ritual is reading newsletters to see what are these, right? What are the deals? What are some of the new strategies? What's coming out? Cause it is an ever evolving industry and there's some amazing tools that come out, but if you're just getting started, if you look at it, you go, that's really just like when you get into real estate investing, it can be overwhelming. So it's really making it simple. And then in our newsletter each week, we're sharing, right? Here's actionable tips. Here's some of the new stuff, but not giving you 900 deals. It's just a couple simple things and, you know, make it super easy.
What is the, when you talk about having multiple cards and you know, like I do, I have cards for one thing and cards for another thing that can, I could totally understand myself included before doing this, somebody listening to it and be like, I don't want to navigate all that. I just want one, you know, whatever. And so what would you say the average number of cards that somebody is going through this and using your system and really trying to maximize this to its fullest extent for the most part, how many cards do you think most people are navigating?
Most people honestly have 3 to 5, whether it's personal and business. You know, I have more than that, but I always tell people on the personal side, I have 2 cards that I use as my daily spend, right? I have the Chase Sapphire Reserve, which is travel and dining out. And I have the Capital One Venture that is all my bills because it earns 2X. That's really it. Just keep it super simple. Yeah. On the business side, you know, I have, you know, different rental properties, you know, each one get a card, but and not on, you know, this business. We'll get some just because I'm more in the game. But if you're like, hey, Ross, I want one simple one or I want two, like that's where we just align on that. And if you're spending a good amount and you're putting the different strategies, like I just mentioned, like a simple one, like Rakuten, like that's going to elevate, right? That spend where that $10,000 monthly spend between personal and business is going to translate into right $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 worth of travel. And when the spend goes up, that goes up. And then there's some more creative strategies too.
Do you lean toward or the big names like the Amex, the Chase, the Capital Ones, or some of these smaller ones that might just have really good, you know, really good bonuses, good introductory offers, good, like, hey, maybe you're getting 5X, 10X spend because they're smaller and they're trying to attract those, that business, and they might have some good transfer partners. Is there any risk in that? Do you like to mix the two? Do you typically lean toward the bigger ones because you know that they're tried and true and they're there and they've got a lot of options, or does it really matter?
Yeah, I lean towards the bigger ones. So Chase, Capital One, Amex. So that's the most that I have. I do have we're American Hub, so I have an American Airlines co-branded card just to, right, for status purposes. And there was a nice welcome offer. But hotel branded cards, like one thing I hear from a lot of people is, oh, I put all my dollars on my Marriott card to get Marriott status. Yeah. My suggestion is, unless you're a huge spending business owner and like that's like a personal strategy, focus in on the Amex, Chase, Capital One first. And then my suggestion would be if you're just getting started out, Chase, because they have what they call a 524 rule for personal. So if you open personal cards if there's five cards that you open within 24 months, they'll block you from getting another one from Chase. So that's something to keep in mind. It just totally depends. If you plan on getting a lot of those cards. If you're like, hey, I'm getting one card, you can go with one of those three banks.
Nice. That's I've heard that. And so I was curious your opinion on that, because I have seen some pretty crazy offers on some cards I've never really heard of, didn't know a lot about, and have never, it seems fairly attractive, but I've always felt like your best options to transfer your best, those big partners have a lot of other partners, right? Global partners that, and I think that gives you the most flexibility with those points. I felt the same way. Like I pretty much only have Amex ones, but across the board, and now I'm wanting to like expand my knowledge into this because I'm like, I don't know why I haven't really done more than we've done because we've used it so much the way that we've been, setting up. And I know there's, we're leaving some points on the table, I'm sure. And so if people want to learn more about you, about Itinerary Boss, like where can we point people? How can we point our listeners, myself included, to learn more about this and really, understand these systems for our own selves?
Yeah. So best place to start, I have a free points and miles cheat sheet for everyone. We'll link that in the show notes, or you can find it at itineraryboss.com. What that's going to do is it's super simple. Shows you how you're going to earn, how you can redeem, who are the transfer partners. So within that, it has a transfer partner cheat sheet. That way you can see who does Chase, Amex, Citi, Capital One transfer to. And then also if you're thinking through, hey, like I'm just getting started out, or I have one card, I don't know which one's the right one, there's also a credit card multiplier that is linked to that then breaks down. You get 5X on gas, you get, right? So it aligns with your personal needs and preferences. And those all link within that sheet to our website and have a simple to follow UI there to find to find which credit card is best for you. Yeah. And Itinerary Boss. Awesome. Yeah. And Itinerary Boss socials, keep it super simple. One other thing I did want to mention too for business owners, because you made me think of this, Sean, is your spend is probably high. So for Chase business cards, they do have credit limit caps. So a lot of times what I see people run into is they'll start out with a Chase card and they'll be like, I spend $200K a month, but I only got a, $15,000 credit limit. So then they're like, they get deterred and they move over to like a US bank who doesn't have, cause they had a good right rate. My suggestion is if you do spend, obviously go come check our stuff out, but there are stuff called preset or no preset spending limit cards. So like charge cards. So that's where Amex and Capital One have good ones where you can get a higher credit limit. And even if you get I have some clients where they start out at, you know, 150K, but after a month, you know, they're able to raise. So if you are a higher spender, that's something just to keep in mind. And you can get, if you do spend a lot of money on ads, the new reserve is really good, but it does have a credit limit. So if you do spend on that, you know, you could call Chase down the line to ask them for a raise. So just a couple tips for business owners so they don't get deterred when they have a huge spend and they get that small credit limit.
Yeah. And that, and it's a good thing to bring up. It's one of the reasons we stuck with Amex, to be honest, because we have a no limit card, right? We have a no preset limit card where we can run larger transactions, larger dollar amounts through that without worrying about hitting a credit limit. And then ultimately still get those, you know, be able to use that for our points. But it's, that does make a big difference. And it's not, it's their, the one that we have that on is the Amex Business Gold Card. And it doesn't have some of the benefits that maybe their Platinum Card does or their Reserve Card does. And some of those, you know, but it makes it to where we also are getting a multiplier on our marketing spend. So we have a multiplier on the marketing spend, a 4X multiplier, and then we don't have a preset limit. So as a business owner, you want to navigate all that stuff. You want to look at all that stuff and know that before you go apply for a whole bunch of cards, just get the ones that work for you. And I think that's where you guys come in, right, Russ, is to, you know, on the front end is to say, hey, listen, here's, let's look where you're spending that money. Let's look where you're located, where you're going to likely use those points and use those benefits. And then let's get the right 3 to 5 cards, maybe, depending on your situation, to really navigate this. And like, to your point, you don't have to be a business owner. You don't have to be spending tons and tons of money, but almost everybody would be very interested if you have $10,000 of personal spend and be able to redeem over $50,000 of travel benefits. That's a pretty, in my opinion, compelling reason to do this. And that's just from your personal example there. I mean, that's a big deal. That's a very big lifestyle upgrade without spending a lot of extra money outside of what you're probably already spending money on.
100%. And that's where, even if you have a side hustle, if you're just thinking like, you can go get a card that you can earn a small welcome offer on and just start getting the process rolling, building up your business credit, right? All of those big things. if you are a bigger spender, that's where, you know, we have direct relationships with some of the banks where if you come in, you say, hey, Ross, I spend, you know, 500K a month, we can go directly to that person, make that introduction. And that first month you might have that lower limit, but if you're paying it off, you're good. And then you can just go directly to that account manager who we partner with and they can get that limit, right, raised. So like, that's the beauty of it is, right, we're working with those people and with, you know, with some higher spenders where they have run into that. So it's having those direct relationships. And, you know, if you're the 3% thing too, I know we didn't touch on that, but have a lot of good content coming out around that of when the math pencils. If GCs don't take cards, if vendors don't, and there's a lot of cool tax benefits that you can get from that, from a business tax deduction, and some strategic ways too to get that fee sometimes knocked off just by early payment terms, creative strategies. And that's what I love doing is helping save some money there and add to your bottom line and then leverage, you know, cards where you weren't earning rewards anyways to earn and pay for travel that way too.
That's awesome. I love it. And so guys, you guys listening, we always, I know Ross talked about a lot of resources, especially the points and miles cheat sheet, and then the Itinerary Boss, all the socials, the website, places that you can go connect and kind of, you know, walk through this kind of roadmap of how to navigate points and miles and card spend and all that good different stuff. And we always put that in the show notes so that you guys can access that very easily and make sure that you can follow up with this because it's something that I get really excited about because we've been doing it for a few years and it's really, really fun. Like I said, I love seeing our points balance. It feels like free money because I'm like, okay, I'm already spending this money on other things and I get these benefits now. And I understand that it's not always free, right? We're paying credit card processing points and stuff, but I don't pay interest on that stuff. We pay it off on a regular basis. We are we're very disciplined when it comes to that, but it feels like there's a lot of benefits that I wouldn't be necessarily shelling out money for, on a regular basis. I wouldn't probably be paying $55,000 for airline flights, if I didn't have points for it, for the family of four to go over to London the way we did last year. And then this year, year with Hawaii and those and all the little trips that we go on. But those bigger ones, like you said, it's a big deal. We you know, some of those are, you know, you're flying overnight and you've got 11-hour flights and it's nice to be able to be able to sleep and you end up refreshed. And so it's just a big upgrade, lifestyle upgrade, and maybe, you know, able to splurge in areas that you might not shell out the money for out of your own pocket. And so it's kind of nice and kind of a fun bonus, in my opinion.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it any better. I couldn't agree more.
Awesome. Awesome, Ross. Well, listen, man, I really appreciate you joining us on the podcast. Those of you listening, we know how valuable your time is and we appreciate you spending it with us. It always means a lot that you're here listening, sharing the show. I always ask you a couple favors at the end of every episode. That is, we don't run ads on these shows. We don't run sponsorships. The only way the show grows is if you guys share it and like it and, you know, leave us a review on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. Those things help us a lot and help us spread the message, help us other people walk into this short-term rental investing game with their eyes wide open. That's our main goal here at Vodacy. And you guys are helping us do that and spread that word. And so we very, very much appreciate it. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening and we'll see you on the next episode.